See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
Go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You're Cinescare.
Welcome to the Cinescare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And we are in December. Joe. Oh, I was going to do chilly. Sleigh bells. I should have done sleigh bells. I was going to find a sleigh bell sound effect.
That would have been nice. Would have been
I didn't have time. I had a late meeting today and I got home like 10 minutes before.
Our listeners love hearing the excuses. Probably more so than the sound effects.
You could do, could you do a sleigh bell? Do you do that? Are you like that guy from Police Academy that does
sounds? That's exactly who I was thinking of, but no, yeah. I don't. I'm not.
Ching, 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 ching. No, that's not right.
Is it Michael Winslow? Is that his name?
Yeah, Michael Winslow. I think it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Something Winslow.
Something like
so no sleigh bells, but it is December.
It is December. And that, yes. You know what that means, Joe?
That means we all have a chance to celebrate because now the Bears fired their coach.
That's right. Yeah. The Bears fired their coach. Last week, the Bruins fired their coach.
Yep.
This episode, the Bears fire their coach. Who else is going to be fired, Joe?
I don't know. It's a bad time of year to be in charge of something.
Yeah, it sure is. Yep. Michael Winslow was the guy's name, Joe.
See? Yeah. Yeah. I'm on top of things. So. Big fan of the 5-0, yeah. The Police Academy movies. Yeah. Oh. Like that. Yeah.
I don't remember I don't know how many of those I actually watched. I think I watched part one and two and three.
I know I saw a handful of them in the theaters and I regret all of them.
Yeah. But I don't think I saw Police Academy 4 Citizens on Patrol. Oh my God. There's a lot of these.
Oh, I've seen that one. As a matter of fact, I know I saw that one in the theater. Yeah.
Oh, wow. In the theater. I don't think I've seen any of these in the theater.
Yeah. I don't think I was allowed to watch them at home.
Police Academy was... There was one scene that I was laughing hysterically. It was the one where there was the girl under the podium when the guy was given the speech.
Oh, the hooker hiding. Yeah, yeah.
Giving the speech or whatever. That
just hear the zipper.
Yeah, and he was like trying to talk. It was hilarious. There's five. Police Academy 5, Assignment Miami Beach. Police Academy 6, City Under Siege.
I did not see either of those.
Joe, they knocked these out. Okay, part one came out in 84, 2, 85, 3, 86, 4, 87. There was one in 88, 89. And then there was Police Academy Mission to Moscow that came out in 1994.
Going and international.
I didn't realize it looks, I don't know if this, no, this isn't part of the Police Academy. Yeah, that's not. But yeah, so... I guess 1984 was the last one.
Technically, we could loosely watch those for the show because of my fascination with bumbling cops.
That's true. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be horror adjacent?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure it's anything adjacent.
Too much of a stretch?
Yeah. That would be a stretch, yeah.
Although I will say to this day, I much prefer Police Squad and the Naked Gun series to anything Police Academy related.
I agree. Yeah.
Police
Squad 1, 2, 33 and a third was getting a bit ridiculous.
Those are Naked Guns. Squad was the series.
Yeah, right. Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the series Police Squad. Oh, forget about it. That was great.
Nothing finer.
Yeah. Well, Joe...
Matt.
Hey, Joe, what did you watch recently?
Yeah, little flash from the past.
Thanks for asking, Brian. You know what? I tried something different this week. Yeah. I actually wrote down notes of the movies that I watched instead of relying on you to remind me what I watched.
Perfect.
Like I normally do. So the first thing that I watched is from 2021 called John in the Hole.
Hmm.
Have you seen this?
No, never heard of it.
It's actually starring Michael C. Hall from Dexter.
John in the Hole?
John and the Hole.
Oh, and the Hole.
Yeah.
Huh. Sounds dirty. So
it's a, yeah, it's, well, it was like literally dirty. There's a hole in the ground. It's a coming of age psychological thriller that plays out the unsettling reality of a kid who holds his family captive in a hole in the ground. So this kid, Charlie Shotwell is the actor's name. Yeah. Teenage kid, kind of an introvert. His father is always pressuring him to play sports. This one particular is tennis. And he's exploring their property one day. They have this gorgeous house like in the middle of the woods somewhere. And he discovers this bunker, which is basically just a concrete box dropped into the ground with no roof. And I don't know if the previous owners had it there or what, but anyway, this kid, he's tired of being told what to do, and he wants to feel like what it's like to be an adult. So he drugs his mother, father, and sister one evening, and while they're completely unconscious, drags them out to the hole and lowers them down there and pretty much holds them captive for well over a week. A period of time. We'll go for that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, he's free to do whatever he wants. But I liked the movie quite a bit. It was an interesting experiment, I guess, if you will, to see what, you know, for this kid to see what he could and couldn't get away with, and how little he thought out some of his stories, his alibis for this. But it was interesting. It was worth a watch. I cannot remember what I saw it on, but I can look that up in a minute.
It is on AMC Plus.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Actually, it's on AMC Plus or for rent, I guess. But yeah, so I see you probably watched it on AMC Plus.
I don't have AMC Plus, so I must have. Oh, I think I rented it on Canopy.
Oh.
Or checked it out for free on the lovely Canopy library service.
Well, Joe, what you could do if you subscribe to how do you subscribe to Shudder? Through the app or on Amazon?
Through the app.
On Amazon, you can subscribe to Shudder and AMC Plus at the same time for like $7 a month.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So.
Well, when my subscription's up, I'll look into it. So anyway, John on the Hole, 2021, worth your time. It was a decent film. And then the other film I watched, because I'm looking at my notes, Alien Romulus, which I know you also watched.
Correct? I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's like a 3.5 out of 5 for me. I really liked the actor that played, was it, Andy? Of course it was Andy.
Yes, because
he's
too.
Andy the Android. His name's David Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And although I was confused, and I'm glad you watched this too, because maybe you'll be able to answer my question. Ian Holm.
Mm-hmm.
Who played the android in the first film?
Yeah.
And
it's not the same name.
No, that was my question. Because in Alien, his android name was Ash.
Right.
But in this one, it's Rook.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just the same model.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But he had the knowledge of a lot of the same experiences.
Right.
Because I guess, doesn't this take place between Alien and
That's
Aliens?
True. Yeah, it didn't make sense. I didn't get that part. And a lot, and some of, I felt like some of that stuff was a little bit of fan service.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, but, sure. Yeah.
But I didn't understand, because you're right. He did say things that seemed like he knew too much. Like it was the same mission.
Yeah.
And how. You know, because he's saying things that would have like his character would have said in the original.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but he has a different name. Yeah, it didn't make sense to me. And it wasn't the same ship. So I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is all of his old friends are dead. And now there's a whole new group of people. Maybe he didn't like his old name. So he decided it's a new audience, new opportunity. I'm going to go by Rook. It'd be like me going by Dallas to to a bunch of people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to take those opportunities when they present themselves.
If there was another Joe, but instead your name is Dallas.
Yeah. Right.
But you have the same, like,
my name's Joe, but all my friends call me Dallas.
All of our references are the same. Everything's the same. I'm like,
right.
Yeah.
You're talking about me and referencing Joe. And like, well, who's Joe? And I'm sorry. I mean, Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, Alien Romulus, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a decent addition to that whole series.
Yeah, so. I liked it. Didn't love it. I gave it, I actually have, it's like three out of five for me. Somewhere in there. The parts of it were closer to 3.5, maybe. I liked the parts where it was, you know, a horror movie, you know, but the parts that were kind of an alien sequel thing, you know, or callbacks to the original and everything, I didn't think it worked all that well. I also thought that the situation was a little unbelievable to me. But I liked it where it was, when it was sticking to just horror, where it was them being chased by the alien. That was great. I thought some of the extraneous stuff, like Rook, like I don't know why it had to be, you know, why he had to be there, you know, other than just kind of fan service sort of thing. It didn't work that much for me. Plus, it was obvious CG, you know, it didn't look, it looked like him, but it looked like something that was supposed to look like him and not really him, you know.
Isn't he dead?
Who? Ian Holm? Yeah, I believe he's dead.
I thought he died like last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's not even, obviously he's not listed in the credits because I think somebody else voiced, like, was like some imitator or whatever did the voice. I think he is dead.
He died in 2020.
Okay. But they went ahead, you know, even so, and made this thing, and it came off a little bit like the you know, Admiral or whatever from, what was the movie where they had, it was the Star Wars movie, was it Rogue One, where they had somebody CG version of like the ship commander or whatever from the original Star Wars.
I think it was Rogue One. Yeah.
And it kind of came off cheesy.
Actually, they do list Ian Holm with a credit as Rook.
Oh, they do.
But they say it's just facial and vocal.
Oh.
So.
Well.
They use his likeness. Lisa gave him credit for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. But no, it's a good movie. It won't be anywhere near my top 10, but I think it's definitely worth checking out if you're really into alien movies. I think Mark really liked this one. This might have been one that he went to a bunch of times rather than watching something new.
I think he saw it 7 times in the theater.
I think so. And meanwhile, he hasn't watched most of the rest of the movies that are probably on our top 10 list.
There's still time.
Yes. All right. What else? Anything else?
That was it. That's two. It.
Okay.
Watched a lot of hockey. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched Alien Romulus. I also watched a movie called The Cellar Door, which is, I think we rented this. This just came out for rent. We rented it on Amazon, and it's a couple are looking for a house in a town. They've keep trying to have a baby, and they have a miscarriage, and they decide they want to have a fresh start in a new little town outside of the city. And they go to this house, and this guy meets them, and their realtor says, hey, you should go talk to this guy. He might have some places in mind for you. And so they go to his house, and the guy who owns this house, and it's this big, like basically a big mansion, and it's owned by Lawrence Fishburne, and it's minimally furnished, tables, chairs, and things like that around, but almost looks like it's a, like it's just set up by the realtor to have, you know, like a, what do they call that? Model home kind of thing.
Staging.
Yeah. Staged, not a model home because it is an old mansion, but it's staged with furniture or whatever, it almost seems like. And so they have dinner with him, spend the night there, And he leaves them a note, and that at the next morning they wake up and they find a letter saying, hey, I had to leave, but I am offering you this house. I'm going to give you this mansion, but under one condition. There is a cellar door. It's one of those outdoor entrance cellar doors, you know, the door like slanted kind of thing, like the old time cellars. There's a cellar that's locked and you cannot enter the cellar. That's the only condition. And of course it starts driving them crazy. And there are things that come up that lead them to want to open the cellar door. And the husband kind of becomes obsessed with the cellar door. But there are other twists and turns that happen that aren't related to the cellar door. But it's a pretty good movie. I gave it 3 cuts. It's definitely entertaining. I think it's almost, I don't know how to put it, but it's almost more psychological horror than true horror at times, but it does go there in a couple places, but it's definitely worth checking out. It's starring Scott Speedman, Jordana Brewster, Lawrence Fishburne, and some people I haven't really heard of before, but definitely it's worth checking out. Won't be in my top 10, but it was entertaining. Yeah.
So I have some questions. So Lawrence Fishburne is actually in this film.
Yes.
Is he actually playing Lawrence Fishburne?
No. Why?
Oh, okay.
No, he plays a guy named Emmett.
Okay. I thought it was like they lived in this universe where Lawrence Fishburne was an actual celebrity.
No.
Because when you said they had, you know, it was Lawrence Fishburne's house, I'm thinking, oh, that'd be cool. I could buy Lawrence Fishburne's house.
No. He does play a fictional character. He's just, I just say Lawrence Fishburne because it's, you know, what are you going to do? But yeah. He's the owner of the mansion. And
so now my other question is, if somebody presented you with that option, could you do that?
Oh, 100%.
Could you take a free mansion without ever disturbing that? Yeah. My thought is piece of cake.
Yeah.
I have the solution. I'm going to get a couple bags of Quikrete and a wheelbarrow, and I'm just going to cement right over that door, and then I'll never be able to get into it.
Yeah.
Done. Problem solved.
No problem at all. I would not have any. I mean, Michelle agreed with me on that. We would not have any problem with that thing too. And that was kind of the interesting part of the movie. Is it's one of those setups that is easy to, you know, kind of get into.
I thought it was going to be a difficult question. Like, and now when you do get pregnant, you give me your firstborn child.
Right. No, this was the easy.
Then one. I would have scratched my head. I would flip a coin or something. But
when I first saw the premise, I was like, how is this going to be hard for them to do? This seems like the most no brainer situation.
Yeah.
But there are things that come up that, you know, you understand why they start to.
Matt, I'm going to give you this house. But you have to promise while you're in the house never to utter the word pumpernickel. Okay, great.
That word would be harder than
this decision would be.
Yeah. No, I would have no problem ignoring that there was a cellar door at all. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
So, but it's worth checking out. It's definitely one, you know, it was good. Michelle and I think we both enjoyed it. It was entertaining enough. Nothing great, but it's entertaining. And then the other day I watched a movie called Sleep, which is I believe it's a South Korean film. And this is by a first-time director. It's been one that I'd heard about on different lists. And, you know, when I've read articles on horror of this year and stuff, I keep seeing it pop up. And basically, this couple, they've just gotten married. And out of nowhere, the husband, the wife wakes up and the husband is sitting up in bed, he starts sleepwalking. And the first night he's sitting up in bed and the wife says to him, you're nodding knowingly. Is this one that you watched and forgot about? And I just reminded you of it.
No, I'm following along. No, oh, okay. I'm okay. Interested. Okay. I'm like, okay. I see. That's probably why they called it Sleep. I'm getting you.
No, I thought you were like, oh yes, I did watch this one too.
Nope. Never heard of it.
She wakes up one night and sees him sitting on the edge of the bed and he says in his sleep talking, he says, someone's inside. And, after that, every night when he falls asleep, he starts doing something. And like their dog winds up missing, and he starts doing stuff in his sleep. And I don't want to go into why he's doing this, because it's a bit of a mystery and that's part of the story. But I thought it was really good. I gave it 4 stars. It might be in the argument for my top 10. I'm not sure. It's one that I really, you know, I did really think about afterwards. There is a brilliant use and a wonderful use of a PowerPoint in the middle or towards the end of the movie, which is something you don't see that often. But one of the characters created a PowerPoint, and I kind of liked that.
A haunted PowerPoint?
No, not a haunted, but it was an interesting.
Was it like on Windows XP or something? You
know? I'm not sure what system they were using or what they have in Korea, but it seemed Windows based, but. It's certainly an interesting film, and I thought that it kind of ran it. You know what it reminded me of? Not the situation, but just the tone of it and how this situation just kept growing and growing. It reminded me a little bit of, I don't know if I could say that, but a little, for some reason, I was reminded of The Coffee Table a little bit, just in the way that the tension built. But I liked it. I thought it was good. So it's definitely worth checking out. This is a first-time director, and I think he's, you know, somebody to watch out for. His name's Jason Yu, and it'll be interesting to see what he does in the future. So this is definitely, I think this was his, it was definitely his first feature. I think he may have done a couple shorts before this, but other than that, definitely worth checking out. Good movie.
All right.
Let's see. And I guess the only other thing, Michelle and I kind of over the Thanksgiving weekend, we kind of got into a little bit of true crime shows. And we watched one on Netflix called American Nightmare. And this is a really interesting movie or thing. It's, I think, 3 parts, maybe. Yes, I think 3 parts. And it's about this couple that has a home invasion that the details around the home invasion are just really weird, and there are details about the whole situation that remind everyone involved in the case, including the cops and the media, of the movie Gone Girl. And in fact, and I was completely unaware of this situation that happened, but I apparently was all over the news, and it was on all those crime, true crime shows on CNN or MSNBC or Fox or whatever they have them on, and those court case shows, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess it was all over the place, and the media and the cops really went, I don't know, off the deep end, not believing this guy whose girlfriend was kidnapped from his bed. And there's some twists and turns in it that Michelle and I were like, oh my God, that's crazy. So it's definitely worth checking out. If you're into true crime, American Nightmare is really good, and it will make you absolutely terrified of our legal system and our detective system and everything else, because this situation would be unbelievable, a nightmare, literally. So we watched a couple others, but this was the one that really stood out to me. So
I did also want to add, I tried watching Lisa Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I think I got half an hour into it and fell asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I may try a second attempt, but it wasn't exactly riveting in the first 30 minutes.
No, and it never really is. And it really, I think I maybe even said this when I reviewed it last summer, that it was, there's just something missing from it. I don't know if it's timing or what, but it's just, it should be so much better than it is. Like this should be one that almost, this should be like a Warm Bodies type of thing that, you know, it's a love story sort of situation. It should be like that.
Yeah.
And it's just something not right about it, you know? And I don't know if it goes too dark or it just doesn't have good comedic timing. I don't know, but there's just something missing.
I love that actress, which is primarily the main reason I gave it a shot. But
yeah, I love her too. And the guy who plays the dead guy, I really like him too. In stuff that we've seen, a good cast. I like the music that's in it. You know, it's got good kind of 80s style music. They're just,
yeah,
it should be like a Edward Scissorhands or maybe a Warm Bodies kind of thing, or Spontaneous.
It should
be that, yeah, kind of lighthearted fun, you know, but also horror based, but it just doesn't quite
be a horror romantic comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite get there. Or what was that one with Jennifer's Body? It should, you know, that tone would have been perfect, but it doesn't quite have any tone. It just sort of meanders. Rom-com. Huh? Horror rom-com.
Horror rom-com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us
to
our pick of the week, which is my pick. And that is Creature Features. And let me see here.
Well, you made some picks, didn't you?
I did make some picks, yeah.
You picked some films.
Yeah, these were a lot of fun. I had a good time with these. And I am very glad. We'll just start off with Birdemic Shock and Terror, because you're gonna
go for that one first.
I'm launching right into Birdemic Shock and Terror. This movie is something else. It directed by James Newman, and I won't list the people that are in it, because no one has ever heard of any of these people or knows any of these people before.
Or ever will again.
Yeah. Well, Whitney Moore, I did look her up. She's the girlfriend or whatever. And she's gone on. She's been a scream queen. I thought she looked familiar, and she's become a bit of a scream queen. They have her in a lot of movies. In fact, she was in American Mary. And so I thought she looked familiar, but I couldn't remember what. But she's been in quite a bit of stuff. I don't think that really anybody else has been in that much, but
it's Birdemic, hard to believe that she would give up her Victoria's Secret modeling career to do movies.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. That's quite a career that she has going on here. A platoon of eagles and vultures attacks the residents of a small town. Eventually, it does take a while to get to the part. I'll explain. I started watching this. I got about 20 minutes in, and I'm like, I see no signs of any Birdemic happening. And I was laughing at it myself. But now I thought, you know what? Joe told me, and I'm usually not a fan of watching the Riff Tracks version when I haven't seen a movie. Especially for the show, like it's one thing to watch them just for their own sake, you know, that's different. And I haven't always liked Riff Tracks as much as I liked Mystery Science MST, Theater.
Yeah.
I haven't always liked it as much, but this version, so I thought I'd give it a shot. And it is freaking hilarious. Like this is the best. I haven't given Riff Tracks a lot of chances, but this is one of the best Riff Tracks movies I've seen so far. And it would, and if it was an MST3K, I would think it was one of the better Mystery Science Theater ones. This one, I was rolling. I watched the live version that they did from some college, I think. And it was spectacular. And those guys had me roll. I was like laughing hard, like a guttural laugh, kind of like the laugh that you get when I do the baby babble over Mark when he's talking, we almost hurt your neck laughing, you know, kind of thing. That's what I did a couple times in this. So if you are out there and you've watched Birdemic before, or even if you haven't, do yourself a favor, watch the Riff Tracks version, because it is absolutely hilarious. But anyway, many people die. It's not known what caused the flying menace to attack. Two people manage to fight back. But will they survive Birdemic Shock and Terror? So, Joe, I know this is one of yours, and you've been trying. You've literally been trying to get me to watch this movie since probably 2010. And I've heard you mention this movie numerous times on this show and just to me in general. I'm surprised it's never made it into one of your picks. But so, Joe, take it away. Your birthday, Joe, by the way, Joe's birthday is coming up. In fact, we won't. Our episode won't come out before your birthday, so I guess it's time to everybody give you a happy birthday.
Yay.
So Birdemic.
So I would like to add too, if you don't want to take the, or if you don't have the screen time to watch the Riff Tracks version of this, which I think you should, But there is an alternative, and I'm not one to recommend somebody else's podcast because, you know, screw everybody else but ours. But there is another podcast called How Did This Get Made? And they do a, they don't do a live thing like Riff Tracks. They just kind of do like what we do, where they assume everyone's already seen the movie, and then they just sit around and they talk about it and they make fun of it. And their guest host for the evening is actually Weird Al Yankovic, who is a huge supporter of this film. And it was hilarious. I absolutely loved it. But yeah, there's a lot going on. The first time I'd like to say this is the fifth time that I've seen this movie.
Holy shit.
Yeah. The first time was like, I thought I was watching the wrong film because there's no birds. There's no mentions of birds. There's a lot of mentions of business deals, modeling careers, and something called SoPal. Solar panels, I guess, are supposed to be the wave of the future. I had no idea the first time I watched this that this whole thing has just got this big hidden agenda as, you know, don't use fossil fuels. And but what
you
I
didn't
can't
catch that. It's well, like totally I didn't.
Because the first time I saw it, I was just focused on where's the goddamn birds. They don't even show up until an hour into this movie.
No,
it's
true.
Only an hour and 45 minutes long.
And when they do, oh boy.
Yeah. Somebody spent a lot of time in Mac Paint making those birds.
Or not much time at all.
Yeah.
One or the other. Yeah.
If you haven't seen this film, the only thing I could think of that's worse than this is The Room, which I have not seen. Was it Tommy Wiseau?
I haven't seen that either. Yeah.
I have not seen it, although I know those other podcasts, they've talked about that as well. But
right.
This movie is made to be made fun of. I highly recommend this is a movie that you should gather your friends around with a whole lot of beer and drinks on a Friday night and watch this thing. It's free just about anywhere to watch. It's cheap entertainment, but it's so poorly acted. I love the fact that the sex scenes that take place in these hotel rooms, actually they're motel rooms, they're all fully clothed.
Yeah. And it's like they're just lying on top of each other. There's really not much sex happening at all.
And I heard, according to the main girl, she was also on that How Did This Get Made podcast with Weird Al. They brought her in as a guest and she was telling like some behind the scenes stories. And she said that the director, James Nguyen, was really, really skittish about, you know, having sex scenes at all.
Oh, really?
So he was the one that demanded that everyone be fully clothed because he didn't want to embarrass them on screen. So,
That's hilarious. Yeah.
I also know like when you do rent a motel room, the first thing I don't put up is a give peace a chance poster on, like, I've never hung a poster on a motel wall that I've been staying at for, I don't know how long, you know, I'd have to be there before I need to like make the place my own. But that drove me nuts too. I also wanted to point out that the news footage that's going on at the beginning of the film, there's a Getty Images watermark over the top of the footage of the news.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was hilarious.
On Riff Tracks.
Yeah. On Riff Tracks. Yeah. If you start this movie and feel the need to go use the restroom or make some popcorn or return some emails, that's fine because the first 20 minutes is this guy just driving and then eventually parking his car.
And they show a lot of parking.
Yeah, a lot of parking,
a lot of driving and parking shots or long, slow pans of really nothing in particular.
Yeah, and the special effects in this film are just top tier. The gunplay that they do, I also had never thought that if I was trapped in a motel room and there was a birdemic going on outside, that the weapon of choice that I would use would be the wire hangers that are usually bolted into the closet in the motel room. Yeah. Not the best weapon I would have thought, but you know, this, I know you might seem like I'm talking down about this, but this is a gem. This is a treat. This is a rite of passage. You folks that have not seen this really need to follow up and watch it. So that's my recommendation.
Yep.
For the record, I'm glad we watched this on this show.
Oh yeah. No, I'm glad too. And the sound in this is horrible. Like when they cut, the sound doesn't match between shot to shot. There'll be one shot where you can tell a car's driving by with a loud car sound driving by. Yes. And then they cut to the person responding to the guy's line. And it's obviously not been shot at the same time. So.
And what's with Rod not being able to walk or act like a human being?
Yeah. Yeah. So they established that they went to high school together, but then he asks if she's from around here.
And then she
says she's from San Francisco and he's from San Jose, but they went to high school together. Like, how did that work? That didn't make any sense at all. It's impossible. They say they go to high school together. And then like in the next line, they talk about growing up in two different towns. Long driving sequence, I wrote. And then I, at one point I wrote, did John Williams do this soundtrack? Cause there was this sweeping music that came out of nowhere for no reason. I think while he was driving. And then like the next scene, it was like something, I don't know where the music is, like 8-bit recording music. And I thought, and I wrote, no, not John Williams. Yeah.
Barry Williams.
I love the scene. The guy says, I just made a sale. And his partner and his buddy goes, how much? $1 million. And one of the things that they talk about on Riff Tracks is that every time they mention money or any kind of number, it's always a very round number. It's always like $1 million, not 1,200,000 or something like that. It's always a very round number.
But the terrible thing is he's such a diehard businessman. Before he hangs up the phone, he offers this customer a 50% off discount.
I know.
And then it's like, how much was the sale? $1 million. You gave away $1 million?
$1 million? Yeah, exactly. I'm going to give you he had already given them, whoever it was he made the sale to, he'd already given them like a whatever it was, a bonus to go along with it. And then he said, and... After the guy, it sounded like he'd already agreed to the sale. He said, now I'm going to give you 50% off.
Yeah.
It'd be like me going up to the cash register to buy some shoes. And the guy saying, oh, they're 20% off. Okay, here. And now that you've paid for it, it's actually 50% off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, great. Who names their cat Alex is what I want to know. It's a silly name. Let's see.
Wait a minute. We just watched Birdemic Shock and Terror, and your takeaway is a cat named Alex?
Yeah.
That's your problem with this film?
It was one of them. I mean, it was one of those things where you had a million problems. Her phone ringer is basically a bicycle bell. I don't know, like, what that phone ring was. She tells him that she gets a job with Victoria's Secret, and he says, I think you'll look great in those lingerie.
Lingerie, yeah.
what a killer. There's so many just lingering shots and slow cuts and the birds. When the birds do arrive, oh, my God, it's the worst, like, fakes. I don't know if you can even call it CG. It does almost look like clip art that's just moving.
Yeah,
I think, in fact, you know, Clippy, when he popped up on the screen on your computer, probably had more graphic animation than these.
The birds are bad. The kids are bad. The walking's bad.
Yeah.
The only thing that's good in this movie is the song in the dance club.
Yes. Oh,
hanging out with my family. Going to have a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. We're something having a party or something, having ourselves a party.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dance scene, they're the only people in the bar, and this guy's singing his heart out for them. I wrote, we're 50 minutes in, and we've seen 3 birds so far. 50 minutes into this movie, and we'd only seen 3 birds. Oh. There's the music. Yeah, I can't really hear it, but there we go. Yeah.
Yes, I have that locked and loaded on my phone because you never know when you're going to have to hang out with your family and have yourself a party.
Is that song actually on Apple Music?
Yeah, yeah, oh and I God, have downloaded it.
That's hilarious. Why did I write horse urine?
Tourette's? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Why did I write that? I don't know.
Thirsty?
The guy just happens to have guns in his van too. There was he just happened to have a bunch of guns in there for them to use.
Yeah.
This was great, and definitely I think you should check out the Riff Tracks version if you get a chance. I watched the live one. I know there is one also where it's not live. It was just, you know, their regular show, and I didn't watch that one because it was on one of the services that had commercials, and I watched the live one. It didn't have commercials. So, but also, if you don't want to watch the Riff Track versions, this is available on Peacock. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on a lot of Hoopla, a bunch of stuff. So I do recommend it. This is one of those, especially if you're really into bad movies. If you're not into B movies or really bad movies, then you probably won't care for it. But if you like watching these movies and laughing at them, especially with a group of friends, I highly recommend this one. It should be on your list if it's not already. So that brings us to our next movie, which is Ginger Snaps from 2000, directed by John Fawcett. The story of two outcast sisters, Ginger and Bridget, in the mindless suburban town of Bailey Downs. On the night of Ginger's first period, she is savagely attacked by a wild creature. Ginger's wounds miraculously heal, but something is not quite right. Now Bridget must save her sister and save herself. So this is definitely a werewolf movie.
It sure is.
Yeah, and... but it's, you know, it's more than that. I think it also, it's kind of tied to these girls. They're both older. Well, they're not older teens. They're coming of age, but they're, I think, what, 15?
Yeah.
One of them's almost 15 and the other one's 16, I think. And neither of them have had their periods yet. And the older one gets her period, and it kind of coincides with the whole werewolf cycle as well. And so there's, you know, teen, young, like coming of age, definitely, like coming into their sexuality as well. And so that is kind of a undercurrent through the movie, is especially these girls coming to terms with their own blossoming, you know, sexuality, as well as they're getting their first period and dealing with boys and romance and all of that, and kind of feeling crazy. It's a not so subtle subtext to the vampire lore. And I think it added a little bit of a different angle on the whole, not vampire, but werewolf legend. The one sister has a terrible wig on. I'm not sure why I haven't really seen what she looks like without. I guess I could look right now, but no, maybe that's not a wig. I don't know. I'm looking at her picture now, and she really has thick hair, but I don't know. It sure looked like a wig in the movie, but I apologize if it's not, but
you're talking anyway. About Bridget, right?
Yeah. Bridget. Okay. She had like her hair. It seemed to me like it was a terrible,
I think
wig,
it was just a bad haircut.
Maybe. But the hairline and everything, it just looked like it might've been a wig, but I guess not, or maybe not. And that, you know, they call, when the girl got her period, she said she got the curse, which is a common term used for for catching werewolfism or whatever it is that you call it.
Lycanthropes.
Lycanthropitis, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought the practical effects are fun. I liked them. Again, it's a play on the female cycle. I thought that the drug dealer kid was a pretty interesting character. I thought the kids were interesting. You know, I liked the teenagers in this. They're kind of shitty, you know, but they kind of
almost seemed like an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
It did. Yeah. It did seem like it was, well, this came out in what, 2000, and Buffy was in the middle of its prime during this time. So I wouldn't be surprised if they stole the tone or used, you know, had the tone of Buffy. Karen Walton was the director. Let me see what she hasn't really, other than this was like the only thing that she's really done, or not director, but she wrote it. Let's see, what else do I have here? I thought the whole dad situation, the dad was the most absent dad of all time. He was just like, seemed bewildered by everything. Mimi Rogers played the mom, and I thought she was pretty good at it. I'm not always a big fan of Mimi Rogers either, but I thought she was good in this movie. I liked that, you know, I thought that the stakes were raised suitably. This one would also work as a Halloween movie because it's part of it is set on Halloween and just before Halloween. Most of it is anyway. So I like this one. I do recommend it, and I'm glad I watched it because this is one of those movies that just keeps popping up, and I'm always like, I gotta watch that sometime. Oh, Lucy Lawless was in this too, but I don't remember who she plays. Oh no, she was just an announcer, uncredited, I guess, on the PA system. How odd. but anyway, what did you think of Ginger Snaps, Joe?
This fits really well into my opinion of werewolf movies, which we've established I'm not a huge fan of. This is nitpicky, but there's some sort of beast that's going around town that's killing everyone's dogs. And there's a scene where they're in high school, they're playing field hockey, and all these girls are out on this field playing field hockey in a big open football type field, and one of the girls pushes Bridget a little bit too hard, knocks her down, and she falls into a carcass of somebody's dog that's been ripped to shreds. Like
they didn't see that.
My
before.
Thought is, how did you not see that the whole time you were out there?
Yeah,
like that's something you would have seen at a distance and maybe canceled PE.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then speaking of the actual werewolf, I'm perplexed why it didn't have fur.
Yeah,
when
I don't
she
know.
Turns into a werewolf at the end, or lycanthrope, whatever you prefer, it's like one of those hairless cats, which that kind of bothered me. That set me off. I would have thought that would have been a great opportunity. Like, I agree, some of the practical effects were done quite well. That's one thing that I would have thought, if you're going to do a werewolf movie, you better have a really damn cool looking werewolf. And they had Mr. Bigglesworth from Austin Powers.
Well, I've got your answer here, Joe.
Yeah. All right.
The werewolf doesn't have fur because the filmmakers intentionally designed the creature to be a more stylized and human-like representation of a werewolf, focusing on the transformation of Ginger's body and appearance rather than a traditionally fully furred beast. This allowed for a more disturbing, unsettling visual effect, emphasizing the horror of her gradual transition into a more monstrous form.
Okay, I'm not a movie writer, but I would have suggested then that the first time you see her, the screen just stops and the director walks in and someone read that to me, what you just read, and then go back to the scene, because I'm just a viewer that knows I'm watching a werewolf movie. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get that at all. Yeah. And now that I know it, it still doesn't make up.
I mean, the only thing I can say also is that the creature evolved over time, you know, and her look was evolving over time, so maybe she was stopped. I mean, obviously there's a sequel to this where both these girls are in it, I think.
Yeah,
so I guess she's not dead, but maybe they stopped her, you know, she was stopped in this movie anyway before she took that next step where she started getting fur. I don't know.
Yeah,
and you know, goes along with puberty, the idea of hair as well, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know, man. We're just thinking too much about this. I just wanted to see a werewolf.
Well, you're the one who brought up the hair.
I know, but I'm just like, That's what I would have told the director. I'm like, really? Do we have to go this deep into it? Can't we just put hair on the damn thing and give the people what they want? But, you know, whatever. It's not my movie. I did like, there was a scene where Bridget and the drug dealer, I believe, are trying to hide like in the closet, or the drug dealer's, Bridget's on the inside of the closet door and the drug dealer is being attacked on the other side of it. And there was a lot of like, the door was getting shaken and slammed. And, you know, it was that whole theater of the mind where you can't see what he's going through, how he's being attacked on the other end. That to me was like the best visual of the entire show. The things that I didn't see are the things that I appreciated the most with this. When Ginger turns into the werewolf, like she's got her juices are flowing, you know, and she walks into school the next day and she's like got that whole sexy vibe and everybody's looking at her.
Yeah.
It just brought back memories of Teen Wolf. Yeah. Like I was waiting for Styles to come out of the corner with his sunglasses on or something, but it, like I said, I didn't have huge high expectations for this film. It's a werewolf film. It kind of is what it is, but I will say this, I do still really like Catherine Isabel, who played Ginger, who later on went to play American Mary. I think she's very attractive. I think she's very talented. I think she played her part very well. And I also want to compliment what you said earlier about the whole Mimi Rogers thing. It was driving me nuts for the first like 5 minutes she was on screen. I'm like, where have I seen her before? And then I'm like, oh yeah, she's Mrs. Kensington from Austin Powers.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. It was okay. I wasn't raving about it. I'll probably never watch it a second time, but I too was like you, like somebody said, oh, have you ever seen Ginger Snaps? And now I can say I have.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm glad I watched it. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It's not great, but I enjoyed it. And you know, I'm glad that this little movie has definitely found an audience because it's one that you see pop up, you know, and it got two sequels at least. So,
yeah.
All right. Well,
We should have done a whole Ginger Snaps episode.
We could have done.
Watched one, two, and three.
Yeah. Is there? I guess I think it is three. Yeah. So we could have watched three of them.
Still snapping.
Ginger
Snaps three.
Snapping and let me see. Yeah, there's three. There's Ginger Snaps and Ginger Snaps Back.
Ooh.
And the girls look much older than that. Well, it's only 4 years later, but I don't know. They got them made up to look a lot older. Anyway, our last movie for the pick is one that I really, really enjoyed this. It's directed by Bong Joon-ho, who you may remember, he directed Parasite that came out in 2019, I believe. Also, Memories of Murder, which we watched a year or two ago. I can't remember when that was, but we watched that a while back, and we both all loved that movie quite a bit. He also directed Snowpiercer, a movie called Okja that I've heard really good things about, but I've avoided watching it just because I think it's about, you know, it's kind of sad from what I understand, and I just haven't wanted to watch it, but he also directed one called Mother that I've been meaning to watch as well. But Memories of Murder and Parasite, I absolutely love both of those movies so much, and especially Memories of Murder. I think it's almost like a perfect movie, but this was really good. I enjoyed it. It's about a teenage girl is captured by a giant mutated squid-like creature that appears from Seoul's Han River after toxic waste was dumped in it, prompting her family into a frantic search for her. So, Joe, why don't you start us off with what did you think of? I think you've seen this one before, right?
I was confusing it with a different movie. I had not seen this before.
Oh,
this I loved. This was fantastic. The creature design is amazing.
Yeah.
And I love the Korean aspect of what a family is or what a lead character is or what a hero is. If you were going to compare this to an American made film, I would have said Tom Cruise in War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
You know, his daughter gets abducted. He's Tom Cruise. He's going to go through whatever he can, try to get his daughter back, save her, blah, blah, blah. It's an action star. He's a hero. He looks the part. This movie, our hero is a buffoon.
Yeah.
He's a bumbling father. My guess is even an accidental father.
Yeah.
But
and even his hair, he's got like that frosted hair that just and the clothes, everything is just so, he's such a doofus.
Yeah. But what's magical about that, what's brilliant about that, is it allows him an arc.
Right.
His character can grow and develop and change and learn from the situation. And we can go right along that journey. Tom Cruise is the same character at the beginning of the movie as he is at the end. This is, it's a tremendous, plus it builds on the aspects of family, and even his dad is defending him when he's like asleep to his, was it sister and brother, or sister and brother-in-law, or something like that, about what, you know, the things that he went through as a child and why you shouldn't be mad at him or pick on him or stuff. And the whole audience just is right along for the ride about why you should feel admiration for this father, and gotta hand it to him, he never gives up.
The other kids aren't perfect either. Like the daughter is this great archery, I don't know if she was in the Olympics or some big competition, but like she kind of falters, you know, in her competition. She winds up with the bronze because she takes too much time.
Yeah,
you know. And then the brother is a lawyer, and he, I guess, does well, but they're, you know, he's not perfect either. So,
and I love the way they portray the handful of Americans in this film. First of which, if it wasn't for the American, none of this would have happened.
Uh-huh.
They're in a laboratory that's just, or is it a,
it's like a military lab, a
corner or something. Yeah. Something where they had bottles upon bottles of formaldehyde. And the American doctor says, there's too much dust on this. You need to dump all of them down the sink. And the Korean doctor said, well, no, we're not allowed to do that. And the American doctor just insists. I would have said, why not just clean the bottles?
Right.
And dispose of the formaldehyde properly. But that's the Americans. We're either creating monsters or we're trying to kill them. Yep. One of the two. That's our role in all of this.
Or trying to kill the ones we created. Right.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Although I was glad to see that the bumbling dad, I mean, the bumblingness doesn't stop there. It goes all the way into their police too, where you can explain whatever you want to them. They've already got their minds made up. What's going on? I don't believe your daughter existed. We're not going to waste the time to look for her. Yada, yada, yada. I'm like, we would run into the same stupid scenario in the United States in our American made movie. So it's nice to see that they're sharing all that.
Yeah.
I would like to point out that this was I don't know if I ever did find the guy's name. There's a doctor, an American doctor. He's got goofy eyeballs. He admits to somebody else that there really was no virus. And that's when the dad kind of overhears it all. That actor was in Silence of the Lambs. I knew I had seen him somewhere.
Yeah.
He's the one that asks Agent Starling if she ever wants to like go out and have a beer or something.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I think it's, oh gosh, what's the guy's name? I think Scott Wilson is the original, is the commander who gives the order.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So as I'm going through my notes and I'm watching this film, and we're introduced to the sister, who's the recurve archer.
Right.
And we focus an awful lot of time on her losing that competition, or at least getting bronze. And my note is, ooh, Olympic recurve archery. I wonder if that's going to be important later on in the film.
Not a chance.
Plot twist. It is.
Yeah.
And I loved that at the end, because there were so many other instances where she's raising that bow and doesn't get to use it. And then the one time she does, I'm like, oh yeah, that's perfect. I like that.
Yeah. Paul Lazar is the guy's name that you're thinking of.
Okay.
He was from Silence of the Lambs, right?
Yeah. Great. There was a great jump scare when the girl was trying to escape the sewer. I love how the creature keeps trying, the daughter, her dynamic with the creature and her trying to escape. It was very pins and needles on the edge of your seat. And, towards the end of the film, before the final climax, in the third act, there's a protest going on. Correct?
Yes.
Is that
yes.
what I was watching?
Yeah.
Giant rally, thousands of people right. standing around. Why do they have those big inflatable guys that dance all over the place, like at a car dealership?
Yeah, I don't know. That must be part of their of their protesting. It's maybe one of those cultural things, but I'm not sure.
Their protesting is so much nicer than ours. We don't have inflatable. There's no balloons. Don't. There's no banners. It's just a bunch of people with.
And they all, I think they were all color. Spelling. They're all wearing the same colors. They were unified.
They're organized. Yeah. They do organized. It so much better than we do.
I think that generally think Korean people are more organized than we are, for sure.
Yeah. I do want to point out there was a scene towards the very end where the monster, he's been gassed, you know, and he's kind of, towards the end, he's towards his own demise. He's got just a few breaths left in him, and they think the daughter's inside of him still before the dad goes running out, try to pull the girl out. And the only thing I could think of is, what do you want me to do? Gut that thing and watch the Kittner kids spill out all over the deck?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I would have done. But, I find it hard to believe that this movie is made in 2006.
No,
because the graphics for that creature were done so well 18 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
And again, I wish more of these Korean films would get popular more over here.
No, I agree. You know? Yeah.
But yeah, this was tremendous. I love this.
Yeah. And the actor, I want to give a shout out to the actor Song Kang-ho, who plays the dad, the father of the little girl. Doofus, I guess, kind of. He was also the main detective in Memories of Murder. He was also one of the main characters in Parasite, and he was in Lady Vengeance, and he was in the movie Thirst. And all of these were, Parasite we haven't watched for the show, but Memories of Murder, Lady Vengeance, and Thirst were like three of our favorite movies that we've watched recent in the last year or so. And I just, the Korean, we just keep watching Korean movies that are so good. And there's another one that I want to have on one of our picks coming up and that I have seen that I really love. And I just haven't been able to put it in with a pick yet, but we will get to it. And that's Tale of Two Sisters. But this is one I really loved it too. And I love the family dynamic. It's just so great. I love their little stand that they have, the way that they eat together and all of that. It's just fantastic. And the little girl just has such a great personality. I love those scenes with her down there in the sewers with the creature. I thought she was just great in that. She's terrific. Everybody in this is fantastic. I love the old man, the dad, the father figure. He's terrific in this as well. And it's such a great loving family too, and they do it so well in a way that's very genuine. That's very typical of Bong Joon-ho. I think a lot of his movies have that kind of family dynamic in them. Parasite had that kind of thing. So anyway, I really like this one too. I think this is one of the better movies of the past year that we've had on a pick. I agree, the creature was fantastic. And the cops aren't necessarily bungling, but they did kind of let him go. And this is a guy that they didn't really, you're trying to keep if they think that he's spreading a disease, they weren't very good at keeping these people locked up. They got away pretty easily, but I guess that's, we wouldn't have a movie if they didn't. But I also like the setting. It looked beautiful. Like, I would love to go to that place where they had the food truck, you know, or the food stand or whatever it was. And I loved the river and you know, all of that. I thought Korea just seems like a really beautiful place to me. So I'd love to go there sometime. All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our picks. So now that we only have three, that's it. So
yeah, that's it.
Joe, what Matt, is your pick for next time? What is your birthday pick, Joe?
My birthday pick. So I've been doing some quick math here, and by my count, we've been doing this show for 17 years, and we have yet to do Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, we're going to do what I'm calling is Hannibal the Cannibal.
Excellent.
So we're going to watch Silence of the Lambs, which is on Tubi. Mm-hmm. We're going to watch Hannibal, which is also on Tubi. And we're going to watch Red Dragon, which is on Netflix.
Excellent.
Because we've never discussed this. And that's what I want for my birthday, is lotion in a basket.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Oh, wait. Isn't she a big fat person? Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. I love the Gene meme. Gum. There's a meme where it's like him looking down into that well. And there's always somebody puts like, this is me looking at the French fries as I'm pulling away from McDonald's. Yeah. All right. Hmm. Well, Silence of the Lambs trilogy, the Hannibal Lecter trilogy. And, you know, wouldn't be a bad idea to watch the TV show Hannibal too if people have extra time on their hands.
Yeah. Or Manhunter if they want to do even more homework.
Oh yeah, Manhunter was
another great one. Film.
Oh yeah, great movie. All right. Well, that'll be perfect. So go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy our merchandise, look up all the stuff that we've got there. And also be on the lookout. Our movie on Halloween night is pretty almost done being edited, it's done. I think the edit is done. There's a few things that I'm going to play with, and there's a few coloring issues that I need to work through if I can. But otherwise, it's pretty much done, and we're submitting to.
What Matt means to say is the movie is perfect and you should be anticipating its release.
It will be released
flawless
sometime next year. And we are sending it to the Chicago Horror Film Festival again. We're also sending it to a few other, but hopefully we'll get to Chicago. I'd love to go back to Chicago again for that. This year, I think it's going to be a little bit earlier, if I'm not mistaken, this year.
I think it's May 17th.
Is it May 17th? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely looking forward to that. We will be submitting there. And last time, Jimmy was nominated for Best Actor, and we received the Director's Choice Award for The Foot of the Bed. So, and if you haven't watched The Foot of the Bed, please go on YouTube and search CineScare, The Foot of the Bed, and it'll pop up for you. We've got about, just under 2,000 views now. So go check it out.
You know, if we were really smart, somebody knew what they were doing, they would just put a link from our CineScareHorror.com website to. Wouldn't that be novel? If somebody
could
just take care
of that for us. That would be a novel idea. Yeah, they can. In fact, you could post it to the website. They could just watch it through our website.
Yeah, we should write that down.
Yeah,
that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
And if you are a new listener, or newish, or even if you're an old listener, I'm not ageist. I don't care how old you are. If you've liked the podcast or you hated it, give us a review.
Yeah,
on Apple. Or wherever else you downloaded this from, but listen, rate, review, let us know what you think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and those ratings you do. If you are, especially if you're a regular, please rate us because those things help us quite a bit. They boost us on the Apple algorithms where they suggest it more, which only then snowballs and helps us. And who knows? Maybe in 2025 we'll go back to releasing video on YouTube.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Something to look forward to.
It is. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this time. We'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming. Get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes. What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You're so